entered an appearance representing two subpoenaed witnesses. I don't know if you intend to be with us during the duration of the proceedings or only during their testimony. I also don't know if we will be proceeding under a sequestration of witnesses situation at that time. So once the proceedings roll, we may need to manage presence in the room. Okay.
Yes, Your Honor. For the meantime, depending on what happens with the procedure, I will stay for, if not all, but most of the hearing today.
And as has been fleshed out in many of the proceedings, and thank you for revising. I know we had spoken earlier that, and it's been fleshed out in emails, that obviously the complainants bear the burden of proof in this matter, and therefore normal operating procedures that the complainants would proceed with their case in chief first. I know there have been some discussions that, and I apologize, I think you tried to clarify me on our conference call last week, and I've seen it spelled three different ways, which leads me to, not three different ways, two different ways, that leads me to believe that there was a typo somewhere in my office. But is it Ms. Cheek or Ms. Chica? I'm sorry.
She's having trouble with the audio.
Okay. Well, do you know the answer?
I think it's Cheek. Cheek.
Okay. Oh. Ms. Cheek, can you hear me?
She's looking kind of dazed.
There we go. Ms. Sheik, can you hear me?
Oh, she just sent a note. I'll dial in.
Okay. My deflated demeanor at that was not directed at the... or directly. It's just one of these days, I just would like one of these Zoom hearings to go off where everyone gets both their camera and their microphone, or, you know, their video and audio working at the outset. It's becoming a new normal at our office to do this, and so we, you know, I just need to build in a little time of getting the technical setup. So we will hold and wait for Ms. Cheek to return. Again, we are not on the record yet. This is just as if we were sitting in the courtroom waiting to begin. So, I'll go over it again once Ms. Cheek is on the phone, but if anyone, you know, normally in my hearing room, I make it clear to everybody that you need to have a glass of water or a cup of coffee with you, that's okay, as long as it doesn't become distracting or disruptive. I used to joke that food is a hard no unless you bring enough for everybody. Elementary school rules apply. But, Ms. Schenk can hear me.
Judge, I just want to let everybody know that I have one computer that has a camera and another computer that has everything else. So when I look over, I'm looking over at this computer. There's nobody here with me.
Yeah, Ms. Rossi, I certainly would have no way of knowing if you were looking at a binder of documents or your exhibits or a different computer screen or a tablet. And we'll certainly go over some of that while we're on the record. But I you know, certainly that is advising us of that is keeping in spirit with how we seek to proceed. So I appreciate that and thank you.
Yeah, so sorry about that. My computer wasn't working, so I'm using my phone, and the sound is working now, so sorry about that.
Is there any way you're able to do both? Because we did have a good video feed on you, and I think it would be helpful.
Yeah, definitely. I'm putting it on FaceTime now, but I have it on speaker.
Not FaceTime, but Zoom?
Yeah, I have the Zoom app, actually. Let me do that on my phone. I thought the computer would be better. It was the worst time. I was getting difficulty.
Well, but you were fine. I mean, why don't we can't do both? If you have your computer on with your video feed. That will have your audio, and then we'll have both components, and I think that would probably be the easiest way to proceed, but
Yeah, well, it seems to be working out now because I went onto my Zoom app on my phone and I put in your meeting ID, so it'll definitely work out now, hopefully. There was something wrong with my computer today. Usually it's fine, but this is working out. I'm putting in the passcode, all the information that's given. I really apologize.
There's nothing to apologize for. We just want to make sure we get there. That's all.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm here. All right. I just entered. All right. Wait. Can you hear me?
I can, but I'm not sure if we're hearing you over the phone audio or over the Zoom audio. Not that it matters to me. I just don't want you in a feedback situation or anything like that, but
yeah.
The audio is
working. I'm going to turn it back on when I'm
right. Mm-hmm. You can hear me now.
I can hear you and I can see you.
Perfect.
Okay. Thank you for your persistence. Okay. So, as I was starting to say before, we have everybody here. It was established and gone over in a lot of the emails that went back and forth that the complainants bear the burden of proof in this matter, and so the ordinary course in the Office of Administrative Law is that the party with the burden of proof will proceed with their case first. I know there had been some discussion of Ms. Rossi taking the lead in terms of presenting a complainant's case, and so I will, unless there's been a change or difference, I will be looking to Ms. Rossi first in terms of the complainant's case, unless you and Ms. Rossi otherwise. Okay. You know, we all watch a lot of TV. Well, maybe we do, maybe we don't. But I know TV has given everyone an impression of how legal proceedings work. Sometimes it's accurate, other times it's wildly inaccurate. I know we generally have a perception from popular culture that we go from opening statements to witness testimony to closing statements. Again, I'm the fact finder in this case. We don't have a jury. And so sometimes parties are comfortable dispensing with an opening statement and just go right into their witness testimony. Other times the parties feel that they wish to make an opening statement. And so with me, there's no right or wrong answer. I'm happy to be guided by the party's preference on that. I don't know if Ms. Rossi, Mr. Leonard, Ms. Sheik, you have any preference on that score.
Doctor, I would like to make a very brief opening statement. I'll try to keep it brief.
So I will appreciate that. And again, that's obviously, it can be a good framing device, but it certainly is not the time to say everything that we came to say. But I know you know that. So that's, and again, I know we have varying degrees of experience with legal proceedings on this call. I try to keep my, where there's at least one pro se litigant in a matter, I try to keep my conversational tone. And please believe me, there are pro se litigants that are very well versed in legal proceedings, and there are pro se litigants that are very, even those without formal legal education, that acquit themselves much better than those who are acting as attorneys representing their clients in this matter. So I certainly don't mean to make any generalization, only that when there is a pro se litigant, I tend to try to make my explanations a little more explanatory, just to make sure that everyone in the proceeding understands where I am. If it appears that I am speaking below the level at which understanding could be easily attained, I do apologize for that. I'm not, certainly not trying to presume any lack of understanding on anyone's part. I just want to make sure the record makes clear that we're keeping everybody up to speed. Next, Ms. Rossi, do you have a sense of how many, do you know how many witnesses you plan to call today as we'll be proceeding with your?
It would be Joseph Nardini first. Then is it Stefan Leon? Stefan? And then Mr. Leonard.
And you yourself do not expect to testify?
No.
Ms. Sheik, do you have any other witnesses that you'll be calling, or do you yourself expect to testify?
I'll testify. I don't have any witnesses today.
Mr. Leonard? Do you have any witnesses that you expect to testify beyond yourself, or?
I plan on, if there's anything that I hear in the complainant's opening testimony and her witnesses, that I might ask them a question based on whatever comes out during the initial opening.
I'm sorry, I think I had an audio hiccup. Could I just ask you to repeat that? I apologize, sir.
Yes, so if I hear anything that's presented in the opening by Ms. Rossi or any of the witnesses that are called, then I'll take notes during the process, and then I'll probably ask them questions.
Okay. Well, certainly that is your right. You have the right to cross-examine any witnesses that are called to testify.
But other than the people on this Zoom, I have no other witnesses.
Okay. Okay. So, and I don't know how long we expect the witness's testimony to take, but hopefully we can proceed through these proceedings with deliberation, and we can, again, if anyone needs a break, we will do that. It is normally my course to take a lunch break at some point in time, but if the parties need a smaller or lesser break, for a few minutes here and there, often either between witnesses or their questioning, we can certainly accommodate that as well. Are there any questions for me before we go on the record and begin the proceeding? Hearing none, then I will at this time say, good morning, we are now on the record. My name is Judge Elia Pilios. I am the administrative law judge assigned in this matter. The matter before me this morning bears OAL docket number EEC01230-20, Sarah Sheik and Nina Rossi versus Daniel Leonard, matter involving the Toms River Board of Education. Today, is Tuesday, October 6th, 2020. The time is approximately 10:18 a.m. and we are proceeding by a Zoom conference call, matter as is the norm during the ongoing health emergency. When I say the norm, is the norm for proceedings at the Office of Administrative Law. Could I please have appearances of the parties and their representatives for the record? Starting with complainants.
Nina Rossi, complainant.
Sarah Shee, complainant.
Leonard.
Daniel Leonard and Michelle Leonard, respondents.
Good morning, Your Honor. William Burns on behalf of both Mr. Nardini and Mr. Leone, who are sitting in the company.
So, the matter here, the proceedings here involve the an allegation of a violation of ethics governing members of the school board. The parties have identified themselves. The parties have indicated they wish to make opening statements. I know we have everyone on this call right now who expects to be a witness in this case. And so one thing I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to read the supplemental instructions for witnesses so that we can all hear them. So if you just bear with me, I'm just going to read them into the record, ask that everyone who is a potential witness in this matter listens to these directions. When it is your turn to take the stand, I will ask you if you need me to repeat them or if you had any questions about them. But when it is your turn to testify, I will swear you in. I'll ask you to state your name on the record. And I will say the following to you, or I am now advising you the following. Good morning. You will be testifying in this matter remotely by video and audio technology. Although you are not physically in my presence in a hearing room, this is a formal administrative law proceeding. You are bound to tell the truth. I'm going to advise you of instructions for testifying remotely, which you are required to follow to ensure that your testimony is heard and to ensure that you are adhering to proper procedures. Failure to follow these instructions may result in your testimony being stricken from the record. You shall be alone during your testimony, except if your attorney or interpreter is present. I'm going to put a pin in that for a minute. I will return to that in a moment. Do not turn on or utilize any electronic devices during your testimony, except for the device you are using to transmit your testimony, such as your phone or a computer. We're going to put a pin in that one as well, and I'll return to that one and supplement on that as well. You shall not record this proceeding with any video or audio recording device. You may not broadcast, live stream, or have your testimony communicated to anyone else while you testify. You shall not speak, gesture, or communicate with anyone during your testimony by electronic or non-electronic device, such as by writing notes, email, text, or other messaging signals or communication. You shall not review or refer to any papers, documents, digital documents, electronic or non-electronic device or information during your testimony. If you have been provided potential exhibits ahead of this remote hearing or during this proceeding, you may view them only if directed to do so. If we take a break during your testimony, you may not discuss the substance of your testimony with anyone. Speak clearly and verbalize all of your responses. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry, there's a second page. Two more quick ones. Wait for the entire question to be asked of you before you start to respond so that the question and answer are heard in full and are not cut off or distorted. If you cannot hear or do not understand the question, make that known. You will not be permitted to claim later that you would have answered differently because you did not hear or understand the question when it was asked of you during your remote testimony. And again, as each of you take the stand, I will ask if you have any questions regarding these instructions. I've just returned briefly to the items that I flagged for a follow-up. Keep in mind these directions were given to be in place during the timing of your testimony. And so obviously, as discussed in our conference call on Friday, I do not have any issue with the respondent having his wife with him in the hearing room during the proceedings, just as if we were in a real life hearing room. There would be no issue with that. And so that is fine. I will ask, though, that if Mr. Leonard is offering testimony during that time period, that no that maybe even you push back from the table or sit behind, that there be no communication going on between you during the, certainly at council table, if you're, you know, when Mr. Leonard is not testifying, you know, if you have notes for each other or you're there in a support role, to the extent it's not distracting, you know, co-counsel at tables or pro se litigants and their support individuals, you know, people who are with them by support or sitting with them are welcome to communicate. But during Mr. Leonard's testimony, I just ask that no communication occur. And with regard to the screens and secondary devices, all these exhibits have been provided electronically. I certainly do not expect that council not be able to access documents. Again, if you're a witness offering testimony, only look and refer to at that point in time during your testimony when asked and directed there. But where we have parties who may or may not be witnesses, obviously council, the parties, the representatives, I have no issue with you. I certainly don't expect everyone to print out reams of paper. And I don't even know if having printers at home is a thing anymore for a lot of people. I've become a dinosaur and that such things don't occur as much anymore. So I certainly take no issue with the exhibits being on an electronic device. So with that, I guess the last question I have is there a request at all for sequestration of witnesses at this time?
No, Your Honor.
I don't request that.
So, Ms. Ross, you don't request it. Mr. Leonard, did you say you did not request sequestration?
I do not request sequestration.
Okay. And Ms. Sheik, any issues?
I don't request it either.
Okay. And again, that really, I think, only applies in this situation to what I had said earlier before we went on the record that Mr. Burns has is shepherding two witnesses whose testimony is anticipated. They are together in a conference room at this point in time. I had suggested that we may need to ask them to step out during portions of the proceedings until their testimony is requested or needed. But if none of the parties are requesting sequestration, then I see no reason to take that step at this time. So certainly once your testimony is completed, I know Mr. Burns has indicated his inclination to remain in the proceedings while they are ongoing, but certainly the witnesses will be able to be excused once their testimony is completed. So I believe that covers everything I had as a preliminary matter. I ask then if the parties are ready and prepared to proceed at this time. And I'm sorry if I look like I'm looking up. I'm just trying to get myself to the right computer screen to have access to the anticipated documents in this matter. There we go. One moment. Okay. So I have a second computer screen that is above the laptop I'm transmitting on. So if you see me looking up, that is just me referring to any exhibits that we were told to refer to. So with that, Ms. Rossi and Ms. Sheik, any opening statements at this time that you wish to make?
Yes, Judge, should I go first?
As I said, I will leave it to you. I will. Because it was indicated that you would be taking the lead, I will look to you first. But if you and Ms. Sheik wish to proceed in a different manner, you know, I'm certainly not here to tell you what order to proceed or present your witnesses in or your presentations in.
Okay, I'll go first. Okay, sir. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm going to start by describing the ethics violations that remain after Mr. Leonard's motion to dismiss. And counts 1, 2, and 3, it's NJSA 18A, column 12-24.1B. And if nobody minds, I'm just going to refer to that as 1B from now on, because it's a lot to say. And I will make decisions in terms of the educational welfare of children and will seek to develop and maintain public schools that meet the individual needs of all children, regardless of their ability, race, creed, sex, or social standing. And what NJAC 6A, colon 28-6.482 states...
I ask for that citation again, I apologize.
Sure. NJAC 6A, colon 28-6.482. I won't refer to that again. States that factual evidence of a violation of 1B shall include evidence that the respondent willfully made a decision contrary to the educational welfare of children, or evidence that the respondent took deliberate action to obstruct the programs and policies designed to meet the individual needs of all children, regardless of their ability, race, color, creed, or social standing. So that's 1B. The second one, which remains in counts 2 and 3, is NJSA 18A, colon 12-24.1E. And again, I'll just refer to that as 1E from now on. It states, I will recognize that authority rests with the Board of Education and will make no personal promises nor take any private action that may compromise the Board. And my focus is the portion that states, nor take any private action that may compromise the Board. And NJAC 6A, colon 28-6.485 provides that factual evidence of a violation of 1E shall include evidence that the respondent made personal promises or took action beyond the scope of his or her duties such that by its nature had the potential to compromise the Board. And the post at issue here, which I distributed before this hearing, are I described as P1. And the first post is a post by Mr. Leonard on April 28th. And it's a Sharia Barbie. And it shows a bruised Barbie doll with a black eye and a black lip. It states it comes with a hijab, which is misspelled. Hijab is H-I-J-A-B. Bruises in Quran. It states that stoning accessories are available for additional purchase. The second post was posted by Mr. Leonard on April 12th, 2019. And it's a post of Ilhan Omar. And Mr. Leonard describes her as a terrorist 100%. And the third post was posted by Mr. Leonard on April 19th, 2019, and it's from Fox News, and the title from Fox News is Rashida Tlaib calls for hunger strike to shut down ICE, and that's Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And Mr. Leonard commented, my life would be complete if she / they die. Now, Mr. Leonard had received ethics training for board members warning of the dangers of posting on social media. And I think with these particular egregious posts, he either forgot or ignored that training. And we'll see today, there's a July 25th, 2019 letter from Joseph Nardini to the school community, I believe. And the second paragraph states, as board president, it is my responsibility to consider first and foremost the well-being of the children of this district. And I suggest that goes to support 1B. It further states, the recent events with regard to the personal social media posting of board member Leonard are distracting the board from its mission and purpose. And I submit that goes to 1E. Then he states, we implore Mr. Leonard to consider the impact his continued service on the board has had and continues to have upon the student body of the Thomas River Regional School District. And I submit that goes to 1B. Further states, when such personal opinions impinge on the ability of this board to act on the many pressing issues facing this district and indeed become an obstruction to the board's message and duties, those opinions do not remain personal to Mr. Leonard, but are opinions and statements which the board must disavow as not reflective of the board or district. And then in a letter from Mr. Leone, July 30th, 2019, he states, the board cannot remain idle in the face of Mr. Leonard's private social media page, which can only be viewed as racist, incendiary, and offensive. He continues, such statements and content do not reflect the board's mission of tolerance and inclusion with regard to its diverse student body, its teacher and administration of the Toms River Regional School District. And I submit that supports 1E. And with that, and whatever else comes up during the hearing, I'm finished.
Ms. Sheik, do you have anything? And again, I know you anticipate testifying as a witness. This isn't time to offer your witness testimony. An opening statement is just to frame what we expect to be demonstrating during the hearing. Do you have any opening statement that you wish to make?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Mr. Leonard, any opening statement?
Your Honor, I have a statement that I'd like to read when it becomes my time to take over testimony. It's an opening statement and a closing statement, and one kind of sums up everything that's happened over the past year and a half.
And I'm sorry, you certainly there are three different parts to what, you know, we hearing often, as I said, is comprised of opening statement. Certainly, if you anticipate offering witness testimony, reading from a prepared statement is certainly, you know, as long as you make it clear that's what you're doing, is certainly once you're sworn in, it can serve as your testimony. Certainly that would be subject to cross-examination by your adversaries. And certainly to the extent if it's a summation of how the law applies to the facts, it can serve as a closing statement. I think my gut tells me, and I'm not here to offer you any legal advice, but I think if you want it to serve in, if you are saying that you expect it to be your opening, closing, and your testimony, and you wish me to consider it in some form of rebuttal to any of the witness presented to overcome the burden of, if Ms. Rossi and Ms. Sheik present evidence that tends toward meeting their burden of proof such that you want to rebut it, it probably is best. I don't want to hear it three times, put it that way.
I want to read it once.
Not that you're suggesting that you want to read it three times. All I'm saying is if it's to serve the purpose of rebuttal of the evidence, it probably is best done during the course of your testimony. And so, again, which would be subject to cross-examination. But it sounds to me then that what you are suggesting is that you waive your opening statement and we'll anticipate hearing from you when it's your turn to present your case. Is that
exactly, Your Honor?
Okay, thank you. And I'm again sorry if I'm laying out too basic. I just want the record to reflect what we're doing and make sure everyone is on the same page. So thank you for indulging me. With that then, Ms. Rossi, are you prepared to proceed with your case in chief?
Yes, I am, Judge.
Okay, do you have any witnesses that you wish to call at this time?
I'd like to call Mr. Joseph Nardini.
Hey.
Your Honor, if I may, before we begin, I know I sent a prior letter to the court, to the parties. I'm going to again enter my objections to the calling of Mr. Nardini. Mr. Nardini, though currently is still a sitting member of the Thomas River Board of Education, he is no longer the Board of Education president. and frankly the writings that were provided in the press releases and comments that were provided by Mr. Nardini at the time of these events speak for themselves. There has been no challenge to the validity of the documents that Ms. Rossi has cited to and has provided through discovery. Mr. Nardini's testimony will provide no additional facts, as Ms. Rossi's questioning of him as per our conference appears to be only centered on the statements that he made at the time. So I would just again renew that objection for the record, Judge.
Ms. Rossi?
Yes, Judge. I do have supplemental questions about what transpired in July 2019 and about the letter, the July 25th, 2019 letter. There are questions that I have about that letter that the letter doesn't answer.
I guess before I open my mouth further, Mr. Leonard, obviously what has happened is Ms. Rossi has issued a subpoena, and attorney representing the subpoenaed witnesses is objecting to the subpoena. Do you take any position on that, Mr. Leonard?
I take the position of the board's attorney advisement on this matter.
Well, on the one hand, I certainly hesitate to make this case more complicated than it needs to be. And quite honestly, part of me is confused why, well, I won't say confused. I guess there, we could perhaps potentially, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of facts in dispute. It seems to me that in a case like this, there's alleged conduct, and it's alleged that the conduct serves to violate the ethics rules. So the purpose of this hearing is to, the factual evidentiary hearing, the purpose is to determine whether or not the alleged conduct occurred. And I don't know if that's in dispute or not. The alleged conduct is the posting, is the alleged postings. Insofar then as whether that conduct, if it's not in dispute that it occurred, rose to the level of ethics violation and what, if any, is appropriate sanction, they seem to be more legal questions. On the other hand, if we don't have stipulation, I know on the other hand that there has been some issues over discovery responses, and we don't seem to have any joint stipulations of fact in this matter, that certainly the complainants are entitled to offer their proofs as well. So, as administrative law judge, I lack the authority to, certainly people can subpoena witnesses to be present. I certainly cannot order somebody brought to this tribunal if someone is seeking to have a subpoena enforced. Certainly that occurs in the Superior Court, but certainly there's nothing appropriate or inappropriate about asking me to quash a subpoena. However, given that we lack stipulations of fact based on the proffer from Ms. Rossi that there are supplemental questions, I'm not going to rule the witness questioning out of order and will allow the questioning to proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. If I may, just very briefly, if the letter that Ms. Rossi refers to is written from the Tomball Regional Schools, Joseph Nardini, dated July 25th, 2019, that is to the Toms River Regional School, and excuse me for looking at this paper, the Toms River Regional Schools community, in the first paragraph begins, as president of the Toms River school board that was provided by Ms. Rossi through discovery. Mr. Nardini stipulates that is in fact correspondence. I will leave that for the court, and I defer to Your Honor and Ms. Rossi.
Thank you. Okay, so Mr. Nardini, would you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. You may put your hand down. You heard the instructions as I read them at the beginning of these proceedings?
Yes, I did.
You understood those instructions?
Yes, I did, Your Honor.
Any questions about any of them?
No, sir.
And I just will add to those instructions that I just ask that you keep your voice up. Although you seem fine, it was actually Mr. Burns I had a little more trouble hearing. I think the further we are from the microphone, the harder it's going to be to hear. But just keep your voice up so that we can hear you and ensure a complete and accurate record of these proceedings. If you don't hear or understand a question, as I said earlier, please don't be afraid to ask. We're on video, but courts like to deal with transcripts and audio recordings. And so I just ask that you verbalize your response to every question. Shrug of the shoulders, nod of the head. We'll all know what you mean, but if there's a transcript produced, that's just not gonna, it's not gonna read that well. And just finally, if anyone objects to a question that's put to you, I know human nature is someone asks me a question, I'm gonna answer it. Please don't do that. If there's an objection lodged to a question, please just sit tight, await further instruction before you answer. You understand these instructions?
Yes, I do, Your Honor.
Thank you. Ms. Rossi, you may proceed.
Thank you, Judge. Good morning, Mr. Nardini.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming. I understand your reluctance. Mr. Nardini, what role did you have on the Toms River Board of Education in July and August 2019?
Back during that time, I was president of the Board of Education. I no longer.
I understand that. I went on the website. Okay, we've gone through P1, and I'm sure you're very familiar with these posts, Mr. Leonard's posts that I described in the opening statement.
Actually, I'm really not that familiar with them.
You're not familiar?
No, I've seen some. But I am not on Facebook, so.
Well, yeah. So, have you seen the post? I'm holding up the Sharia Barbie post.
I believe I did.
Okay. I said Sharia Barbie comes with misspelled hijab, bruises and crayons, stoning accessories available for additional purchase. Second one is,
Your Honor, just not to interrupt, I'm just showing it's the Nardini P1.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Ms. Rossi, I see
you. Okay, so you're good?
Yes.
Now, when did you first see these posts? When were they brought to your attention?
To answer that, honestly, I guess during that time. But afterwards, I really don't remember.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Mr. Nardini, I don't know if you know this answer, but approximately how many Muslim students attended schools? Sorry, sometimes I get kind of a stutter. So please bear with me. Attended schools within the jurisdiction of the Toms River Regional Board of Education during from like April through July of 2019. Do you have any idea?
I have no idea, Ms. Rossi.
After the posts were revealed, were you contacted by students or parents about the negative effect the posts were having on them?
If I remember correctly, we were contacted, and the whole reason I suggested that Mr. Leonard step down is because of the foul, vile, terroristic threats that were brought into the school system. We have one of the largest school systems around. We have a lot of business to go over, all right? And our secretaries were being, and phone calls with people were, I didn't want to say the words. They were so vile and so filthy, and they were so upsetting. It was horrible, it was terrible. The terroristic threats that were given to our school system and to them and to everyone else, I had to stop it. We have business, we have school business to conduct. I had no time for this other stuff, right? It wasn't board business. I had to attend to board business. We had a lot of stuff to go over. We have 12 o'clock at night to get our meetings done, because that's where we advertise them. So, you know, we had to make things. I tried to make this stop. I hope that's a help.
Before you ask your next question, has Ms. Sheik left the proceedings? These proceedings have begun. Petitioner and a complainant are present. I understand there's going to be technical difficulty, but people just can't get up and leave the hearing room back and forth one way or the other. I'm going to ascribe this to technical difficulty, and I'm going to ask we take a moment to see if she rejoins.
Judge, may I suggest that since Ms. Sheik agreed that I'll present the case, that we can proceed?
Well, you know, we tried to get her to agree to that several times, and we never did quite get the letter that we asked for, did we, Ms. Rossi?
I tried.
So, if we can get her back and she'll say it on the record, then I have no problem. But in the absence of that, perhaps would suggest that we pause the record, and if you reach for her and try and find out what's going on.
No, I left my phone in the other room because I didn't want it to ring. I'll be right back.
Okay, I'm going to pause the recording at this time.
Your Honor.